Hello.
Caitlin.
Hi.
Good. Okay.
Hello. Oh.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, all good.
All good. Okay. Right. Let me see. I'm just waiting for the counter to go up. Okay. On a three, two, one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
It's another Friday afternoon, and you are tuned to another episode of The Sideshow at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow. I get confused with this all the time. And Sideshow, like, you know the story. Just stick it into the, press the middle button on the phone and just stick in Sideshow. It'll come up for you. Let's get to more serious matters than Peter's sometimes flittery mind. And let me bring you back to November 2016 when I spoke to a lady by the name of Caitlin McLaughlin. Caitlin was the Young Designer of the Year 2016. Skew forward, and Caitlin will be building the first garden under her own name at Chelsea 2018. Caitlin McLaughlin, you're very welcome back to the Sideshow. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're most welcome. I spoke to you pre us going on air, and I suggested to you, well, I didn't suggest, I pointed out the fact, because I read it on Wikipedia, that you are now more popular than me.
And I disagree.
If you were Paul Harvey Brooks, well, as I noted to him about 2 weeks ago, I said, you're not only more popular than me, but you're also better looking than me. And he did not disagree with either of them that I remember. Let's get serious about this, and we'll travel back a little bit in time. Where was Caitlin McLaughlin as an individual in the horticultural industry when we spoke November 2016? Do you remember that interview?
Yeah, so when we spoke, I'd been brought on board with Hilliers and Sarah Everly to do Chelsea 2017. They contacted me, and it was a really amazing opportunity. They asked if I would like to come on board and assist with Chelsea, but be mentored by Sarah and by Hilliers. Which of course I jumped at the chance to do. And I think when we talked, I wasn't allowed to say it out loud yet. So I had to kind of sit on that information. I was so excited about it.
And were you 28 at the time?
No, I was 26 at the time. I'm 27 now. I feel older, but yeah.
Yeah, don't we all, says you. But if you told me at 26 years of age, Peter, you're going to build a garden at Tatton, you will be named RHS Young Designer of the Year 2016, you will then go in and be involved in the build of a garden in Chelsea, park that to one side entirely because you are now going to skew straight up to the Premier League, and you will be building your own garden at Chelsea in 2018. It's an extremely fast progression, to be quite fair about it, Caitlin, and very much to your credit, and you're obviously doing all of those things extremely right.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind, and I completely understand that it seems quite fast, because it does to me as well. I mean, I'm absolutely loving it, and I'm just kind of going with it. It's kind of scary at the same time, progressing quite fast to Chelsea, but I'm so passionate about it, and I hope that kind of overrides the fear that's also accompanying it.
You would have worked, as you noted, under Paul Harvey Brooks, and when he spoke to me a couple of weeks ago, he was saying a garden build at Chelsea or Hampton or Tatton can be as pressurised or as not pressurised as you want it to be. Half of my head said, well, that's all right when you've been there, done it, and bought the T-shirt, or you're like Mark Gregory, former guest of the show, where you've built 150 Chelsea Flower Show gardens. No matter what anybody says, my head still goes back to that childlike thing of when I first put plants up for award at the local horticultural society held in the school hall, except the stage and the amount of plants just gets a little bit bigger and bigger. I guess a couple of months now before the actual beginning of your Chelsea legacy build without trying to add to that pressure cooker that may exist there, even though you come across as extremely calm. Do you feel that little bit of it, or do you identify with what Paul was saying?
I do feel the pressure. And what I'm trying to do is combat that in every way I can. So I'm surrounding myself by a strong team of people that are really great and really experienced. And so that when I get on site, I know that they have my back and we can do it together and we're going to be strong. Also, I think what helps is that I've dived headfirst into this and completely submerged myself in everything to do with this garden. I feel like it could be my mastermind challenge question. I just know everything. And so I think that helps, because hopefully then, no matter what problems might occur or might not occur, I can tackle it.
Okay, well then let's get into the garden. And before we do that, talk to me a little bit about the sponsorship thing, because it always intrigues me. For those who are unaware, there are three parts to bringing any garden to any show. One is that you can A, do what you say you are going to do, and you can back that up, which Caitlin obviously can. And number two, that you have a sponsor, essentially. And number three, logically, that your design fits in with that said show. But the one that invariably falters people is that the sponsor either A, pulls the plug, B, the sponsor decides to maybe pull out, or for the greater part, whilst you do have that grand design and that ability to build gardens, you just can't find that sponsor for the show. And I've got my own left hand up in the air as I ask this question to you, being that I've had sponsor pull the plug on more than one occasion, and I wouldn't be on my own on that. Did they approach you? Did you go to them?
They actually approached me in the summer after the last Chelsea show, and said they were interested in doing a show garden. We were looking at artisan gardens, and they said they would like me to design for them if I would like to. And of course I said yes. And my sponsor is Jill Clark Design, who do sculptural metalwork. And so my brief was very broad, as long as I brought in an element of custom metalwork into the garden. So that's what I've tried to do.
Can you tell me then a little bit about the garden, Caitlin?
So it's, as I mentioned, it's got custom metalwork in the garden. And so I've actually built the message using those elements. So the garden itself represents life's ups and downs and the adversity people go through on a day-to-day and in their lives. And so as you travel through the garden, it's kind of a metaphor for life. And as you progress, you encounter both positive and negative experiences. Using metal runners, I've got them crossing through the garden and they kind of rise up and down. Some of them like rise above your head, and it's kind of to represent that problems sometimes seem completely insurmountable, but then they come down to ground level and run through the paths, and you can step over them because you've overcome your problem. But because there's a lot of metal runners in the garden, it's because life always throws up new challenges. But the garden is kind of highlighting the human spirit and its resilience, that you can keep overcoming and you can carry on. So that's what I've done.
That's a funny one that you say that, because when I would go back in time to a much younger Peter in my head, and don't get me wrong, I can hear you laughing out there, and you would be right too, but in Peter's head can be a very unusual place. At the best of times, I kind of compare it to Jim Carrey in The Mask, and it's only, it's the Marx Brothers sketches that tend to come out. Thank God for that one, says you. At the same token, I remember an old English teacher of mine telling me, Peter, if you're going to write a story, try and write it about your own experiences, because you never tend to get stop on the pathway. When the pen goes down, it essentially keeps on flowing. Did you have a little bit of yourself and your own experiences in life when you were piecing that design of a garden together?
Yeah, I think that to do something that requires as much passion as a Chelsea Flower Show garden, you need to put yourself into it. And the garden, yeah, it does have elements of me, and I do associate with the message. I mean, life does have its ups and downs. I'm not sure if I've suffered any more difficulties than anyone else, but the garden's about recognizing kind of everyone's life experiences and highlighting that.
When I close my eyes, when I see a garden in my head with my eyes closed, for those of you listening at home, bear with me here, but there was a story that I told my 7-year-old daughter where if you lie down on the ground and you can imagine reaching up and picking the clouds out of the sky like candy floss and eating them, and how the man on the moon has really tall legs and during the daytime nobody can see them. And I say this to some people where they're friends of mine and their brain is a little bit more equational than mine. John in particular is a civil engineer. He's the person I would go to when I want to cantilever a garden off the side of a building. And I know that it's going to be a structurally sound, but in the imagination side of things, he just doesn't get it. I have to draw it out for the guy. When you closed your eyes, when the sponsor first came to you, did you have that picture already in your head and then you all of a sudden picked that cloud out of the sky, in which case it's metalwork, steelwork, and you dropped it straight in and went, oh my God, I am an absolute genius? Or did you have to go pen to paper post having the sponsor's brief?
It was definitely the latter. I wish I could say I was a genius, but it didn't come to me for quite a while. I was drawing out lots of different shapes on paper and trying to make it kind of work with this message that was starting to build up in my head. And then just kind of one day it came to me and I finally put it down on paper and was happy with what I'd drawn together. But it was a process.
And when you then go back to the sponsor, and we spoke about this with Walcott and Smith from Chelsea 2017, about having the wrong sponsor as versus the right sponsor, not to be critical of anybody out there, and how it can almost change the design again with your name at the top of the page. Was there a little bit of tweaking to and fro post hooking up with the sponsor and showing them the designs that you had? And then can I ask you, when you submitted that to the RHS, obviously they can come back to you and say, look, either A, more information, or B, can you tweak that?
There was a slight element of both. So the RHS did want a few tweaks made, which I was happy to do, because when we talked it through, their points like make complete sense, and I really appreciated that feedback. There was a few little tweaks with the sponsor too before we submitted, but overall they were really happy with the garden, which is just such a relief, because obviously you put your kind of heart and soul into it and then you pitch. And it's very nerve-wracking, but they really liked it.
In all things garden making over my career, I've always looked back at the early stuff and you put your head in your hands and you go, oh, good Lord, I was so innocent, so naive. Always with hindsight, it can be a little bit better. And the joke, I guess, or not the joke, is when you take that music analogy of the Beatles Love Me Do to Beatles Sgt. Pepper's, or even the Rolling Stones ending up with Sympathy for the Devil, or any variation of that. Do you look back on what you did a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and say, Caitlin, what were you thinking?
Some of the projects, yes. I'm my own worst critic, so I can't help it. I just kind of pick things apart and think about all of the things I could have done instead, because retrospect is just the worst. But when I look back at my young designer garden, I mean, I was so happy with that. I look back at it with such fond memories, and I think there are a couple of things I'd still want to fix. Like, I wasn't that happy with my hedge, but overall, I loved it. I was really happy with that.
When you look at the role the Royal Horticultural Society has played in your career to date, and from where you came from, how pivotal has that been? And what advice would you have for anybody who's saying, should I go to Tatton? Will I evolve out of that show? Will I end up at Chelsea is the biggest stage in the world?
I mean, for me, the RHS was crucial, especially the Young Designer competition. Entering that and getting their kind of support through the competition, through the build, was just brilliant. And for anyone that's considering applying but doesn't know if they should, or they're feeling a bit of self-doubt, just do it. It was the best thing. I'm riddled with self-doubt. And when I applied, I was like, this isn't going to happen. I'm not going to get through. And then I got to the interview stage and I thought, well, I'll pitch and I'll do my interview, but I won't get through. And then I got through and I was like, this is insane. Did the competition. And whilst I was on site, I was like, well, I'm not going to win. I'm going to do the garden. I'll be proud of the garden. and we'll go from there. And then to win and to get the RHS's support, well, I mean, I cried on site. I was so happy. And they've been absolutely crucial to my career progression.
But if you hadn't have entered that young designer competition, is it fair to suggest you wouldn't be where you are on the cusp of now?
Yeah, without a doubt, I wouldn't be about to do Chelsea. I don't even know if I'd be in garden design. It might still just be a hobby that I don't want to pursue because I'm too scared. I don't know. But I think that I wouldn't be doing Chelsea without having entered Young Designer.
You still run Trift Landscapes with your sister Tessa?
Yes, yeah, we are still working away.
When I went and built Show Gardens, what I found was essentially the business, or what paid the bills, went entirely to one side.
We're still in the early stages of the business. So both Tessa and I are still doing other jobs at the same time as doing garden design. But that's okay, because obviously we're new and we're going to get there. But in terms of building up projects and clients, I'm really happy with the way things have gone. So we've just passed planning permission for a housing estate in Peckham to do the landscaping for Eco Homes. And we're doing a few acres up in Cheshire. And so we're doing some really exciting things that I feel like is going to develop the business and really help us progress.
You tend to do what I do. And as an Irish man, I find it very hard to take compliments, or apparently I'm told I don't receive them quite well. So when people tell me that I've done something extremely well, or that the Sod Show is great, or Peter Donegan is great, I tend to say, oh, sure, look, Jesus, if you had two potatoes, sure, you may as well have three, or some variation of a conversation. When you're designing an entire estate, within the 2016 November interview and this 2018 interview heading towards Chelsea, my head says you've been extremely busy in between, but yet you still managed to play it down ever so slightly. So
so I've done a few private gardens around the country that was actually off the back of Tatton and the Young Designer competition. And then via that, I got introduced to some architects in London, and then they kind of brought me on board for a few projects like this, this Peckham estate, to do the landscaping with them. And we've just kind of been running with that, and there's a few projects lined up in the future to work with them as well, which is, I mean, a great opportunity, and I feel really lucky that they want to work with me. And then I've just been kind of just doing as many gardens as I can. I'm so passionate about it, so I've been trying to do everything, really.
Did you do something at Hampton in between?
Yeah, so I pitched to Capella Apple Juice to do their trade stand gardens at Malvern and Hampton Court, and I won the pitch for that. So I got to do like a little visitor experience garden at the two shows. So that was really cool. That was really fun. And it was great to be able to do two different kind of planting styles for the two seasons. So then I did that, and then I did a bit of Tatton as well, because I was brought on board to do planting design for the Salford Council. They were highlighting the regeneration of their urban canal systems, and a designer called Tim Denton had done the structural design of the garden, and it was lots of wooden archways where it kind of represented the canals but played with the lighting on site. It was just amazing. And I was asked to do planting for that. So that was a really great project to be involved in, like really inspiring. So that was, yeah, busy summer.
An extremely busy summer. When you hit Chelsea 2018, when did your build kick off, Caitlin?
We're on site second week of May, I think, or third week of May. I should probably check that out and put it in the diary. I think the 9th of May. Yeah, and then we get 2 weeks to build, and then obviously the week of the show. So that'll be really full on.
I'm going to ask you this with your eyes closed, because I know you don't have this in front of you, but when you arrive on site, what is the build schedule that you have mapped out in your head?
Oh, we want to get the hard landscaping done and the trees put in, the hedges put in, everything within the first 4 days if possible, and the metalwork kind of placed in. Obviously need to make sure all the metalwork structures are structurally sound, and then hopefully we just get to fill in all the gaps with planting. And that's how I envisage it, being really smooth.
Who's building your garden for you, Caitlin?
I'm working with Conway Landscapes. Cormac Conway's come on board, so he's going to be really awesome.
I know Cormac very well.
Yeah, he's been an absolute wealth of knowledge, and he's happy for me to kind of question him a lot about everything. So it's been great.
Cormac built Manaj's garden last year at Chelsea, and if I remember correctly, also Ian Price's garden. I think I have that correct.
Yeah, the Mindtrap garden. That was really inspiring for me, seeing that last year. So it's great to have him.
Both former guests of the show, and I should add the high praise that Manaj pays upon Conway Landscapes is out of this world. We noted and touched on it briefly, Caitlin, already, but how important is it to have somebody like Conway Landscapes by your side when you're doing a project like this for the first time?
It's really, really important. As I say, he's a wealth of knowledge, and his experience has just been exceptionally helpful. As a designer, especially someone like me who hasn't done Chelsea before, I've obviously got this design. I think I know how it's going to go and I would like it created, but I need to be able to talk to people who have more experience and who have the ability to kind of talk me through things and help me. And we need to work as a team and support each other. And that's what he's been doing. It's been really helpful.
When you're doing a garden like this and you've got a Conway Landscapes by your side, Caitlin, how important is it, I guess, to have that person who's seen and done it and seen maybe the designer get a little bit nervous, or in football terms to call it squeaky bum time, when you're getting in particular to the tail end of a garden build, just to be able to put your mind at ease? And I don't want to suggest hold your hand to taint you as being slightly naive, far from that, because you're there on good merit and for all of the right reasons. But is there an element of why it's so important to have an experienced landscaper, garden builder, show garden builder, which is an entirely different again, and how important is that?
I think it's exceptionally important. In terms of support Cormac's been giving me already, it's been really great. And I've created this design, but in terms of creating it as an actual garden on site in a very short amount of time and making sure that it holds up to scrutiny, not just from the judges, but all the visitors and all of the television cameras. It's a lot of pressure to get this garden looking fantastic. And as I haven't done Chelsea before as a designer in my own right, as a first timer, this is going to be a lot of pressure. I can handle the pressure to an extent, but it's always great to have someone that knows how it works, knows what they're doing. And he knows so much about Chelsea from his experience previously, but he knows so much about the design now and what we're creating. And so when we go on site, there won't be a question he won't know how to answer. And that's just invaluable, really.
Let me go a different one again, and I brought this up in conversation with Paul Hervey Brooks, but how important is metal to you, or if you don't mind me asking, does that matter at all?
I'd lie if it said it didn't matter. I'm pretty keen on obviously doing the best I can do. Whether that's a gold medal, I'd like to hope it is, and I would of course love a gold medal at Chelsea, but I've decided that from doing the Young Designer Garden and not knowing what medal I was going to get, but having created the garden and you've got the judges on the garden and there's nothing you can do about it, I was happy with what I created. And that's what I want to do at Chelsea. I want to do a garden that I'm proud of, that my sponsors are proud of, and that really represents the message of what I want to portray. If that's a gold as well, that would be amazing.
Because there is a point in it, though, Caitlin, where, and again, this is from personal and from talking to other designers, be it Charlotte Harris, there is a point where, on one hand, I always slept happier knowing that I did what was in my heart, which then translated through the big calculator that's in between my two ears, came out on paper and then was recreated in a photosynthetic state, let me call it that. But I knew that I wasn't going to win gold, but I knew I had built what was in my heart. So I slept happier with a lesser medal. And most people will tell you that that there is some element of a formula for achieving gold in Chelsea. At the same token, you don't always get to follow your heart when you do that. And you got a question, I suppose, maybe within yourself, which is the route you want to go. Paul seems to tell me that he'll sleep happier without the greater medal, but my head still says that he'll get gold anyway. In your case, for those who listen at home, there is an element of when the judges are judging and when they're scoring at points. There's a part of it which is subjective, and the Helen and James Basson Garden is probably a fine example of that, where there were equal divides of I love it, or if you don't mind me saying to those who listen at home, but that I dislike it, or in some cases a lot, but it still won gold and best in show. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. And I would hope that I would create a garden that I am happy with and has the message that I want. And I think that would help, no matter what the medal is, that I could stand by my garden and be exceptionally proud of what I've done. But hey, I'd love a gold as well. And if there's kind of a formula that allows me to do both and get a gold and create something that is in my heart, then that'd be fantastic, really.
Are you a bit of a daydreamer, Caitlin? Do you have that in you?
Occasionally, yeah.
When you go to the pub, is there a chance that you're going to end up dancing and swinging out of the chandeliers there? Are you at that level of daydream, or is it, no, Peter, I'm a little bit more responsible than you?
Yeah, I'm probably toned down a little bit, but yeah.
Just in case your sponsor on the RHS are listening.
Yeah.
Okay. Caitlin McLaughlin, thank you so much for coming back on the Sod Show. It's been a real pleasure. It's been a real treat to actually watch what's been happening over the last 18 months come to the, what I can only describe as, it's not an FA Cup, it's a World Cup final for you. And I'm absolutely delighted on your behalf. And I look forward to seeing your garden at Chelsea 2018.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're most welcome. Curiosity killed the cat, Caitlin. If people are heading to Chelsea, whereabouts is your garden going to be located?
We're in the artisan section, but we're round the corner near the eating area, and I probably can't tell you who my neighbours are, can I?
No.
So yeah, we're just around the corner from the main artisan strip.
Okay, so head down Serpentine Avenue, and if you're stuck, you'll see the RHS staff around there. Just ask them to point you to Caitlin McLaughlin's garden. Caitlin, who's your sponsor just again?
Jill Clark Design.
Jill Clark Design. Okay, so look, if you're listening to this, you're on the road, you're walking, you're on the tube, you're in Salt Lake City, do me a favor, at Sodshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesodshow, sodshow.com. We'll have all of Caitlin's details. We'll have Jill Clark Design's details up there as well, and everything else you might need, and any other contact information for Caitlin McLaughlin. They are on the web and they are on Twitter. They're Trift Landscape there, Trift Landscape singular. Again, if you're unsure, just send me a note and I'll put you directly in touch. And in the meantime, Caitlin McLaughlin, continued success. I look forward to seeing you this May, June 2018.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing you at Chelsea as well. Thanks very much, Peter.
That's it. Excellent stuff. Okay, and for those of you listening at home, you know to get in touch. If you're stuck, you're on the road, whatever the case may be, and if you have a moment and you're in iTunes, don't be afraid to leave it just that little bit of a rating review. You can say Caitlin was your favourite episode. That will lead other people to go and maybe listen to this little bit of an interview as well. I should also add the Sod Show is in Spotify if you're in that neck of the woods. Okay, that's it. We're all but out of time. Have a great weekend, the great outdoors. Take care. So on. Bye-bye.